Welcome to His Great Name, where we lift up the name of our mighty King, Yeshua. Last week we reviewed the origins of our great enemy, Ha-Satan, and saw that because of Adam's fall, we too became rebellious enemies of Adonai and joined Ha-Satan's kingdom of darkness by virtue of inheriting Adam's rebellious nature, the sin nature. Then we talked about Yeshua's great triumph over Ha-Satan through his obedience to the Father unto death and the shedding of his precious blood. Glory to God! Hallelujah! Yeshua totally and utterly destroyed Ha-Satan's works, stripped him of his authority and his power over death, and his tyranny over the bodies and souls of men, and made an open show of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I get so happy when I think of what Yeshua did for me and where he brought me from. I was as lost as a baseball in high grass, and he came and found me and introduced me to my Papa God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I just get overwhelmed with God's goodness to me. Now, because of Yeshua, the way is open for all men to come out of Ha-Satan's kingdom of darkness. Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. By believing in our heart that Adonai has raised Yeshua from the dead, and by giving Yeshua what I call our oath of allegiance, which is confessing him as Lord, we come out of Ha-Satan's kingdom into the kingdom of Adonai, and we have access to God through the shed blood of Messiah. We are now citizens of Yeshua's kingdom of light. Now I'd like to look today at John 20, starting with verse 22, so we can see something significant that took place after Messiah's resurrection. Now, just a note before we begin. In verses 11 through 18, there was one person who was given a unique honor. Mary Magdalene was the only person to whom Yeshua appeared before he ascended to the Father. She was so devastated by Yeshua's death that he took great compassion on her broken heart and revealed himself to her to comfort her before he ascended to the Father to perform his high priestly duties in the heavenlies. His apostles could wait, but he appeared to her before he ascended. This is such a beautiful picture of the Lord's compassion. And he has that same kind of compassion on us in all of our situations. Now, starting at John 20, 22, it says, "So when it was evening on that day," the day he arose from the dead, "the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side." Now I think he did this to show them it was him and that he had been raised from the dead. The last time they had seen him, he was dead on the cross. "The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Yeshua said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, what was Messiah doing here? Well, we need to go back and look at John 3, 1 through 8. "Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Yeshua by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Yeshua answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Yeshua answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus states that he knows Messiah has come from God because no one can do the signs he does unless God is with him. Messiah responds by telling him and us about one of the works of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said, You must be born from above to enter the kingdom of God. In verse 5, he goes on to explain that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are born from above. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Remember, Adam had died spiritually the very moment he ate the forbidden fruit. God had said, In the day you eat of it, you shall die. 1 Corinthians 15:44 in the second half of the verse says, There is a natural body and a spiritual body. Now death, real death, spiritual death, is separation from God, the source of all life. It took 930 years for the spiritual death in Adam to manifest in his body. Adam was a dead man walking, spiritually dead, and that spiritual death was killing his body. But praise God, that is not the case anymore. We have been delivered from the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 22 says, But now Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of them who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Mashiach all will be made alive. Yeshua breathing on the disciples brings to mind the first creation when God formed a body of clay in the garden and breathed into it, and man became a living soul. The new creation follows this same pattern. After his resurrection, Yeshua came to his disciples and breathed into them, and they became a new creation, spiritually reborn. It is the same pattern we follow. They believed he was raised from the dead. He was standing right in front of them, and they knew he was the Lord. The Ruach HaKodesh was now breathed into them. If the disciples who had walked with Mashiach for more than 3 years of his public ministry had to be born from above, then so do we. Everyone has to be born from above to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Messiah himself said. Now, I don't think Messiah stood from across the room and breathed on them collectively. I believe that he breathed into each one of them individually and said or commanded them, receive the Holy Spirit, just like he comes to each of us. Individually, when we make our choice to follow him. Yeshua breathes into us the Holy Spirit and we become a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things are new, and now the Holy Spirit is in us. Look at Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, days are coming, declare the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Again, in Ezekiel 36:22, the Lord says, Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. We, who had inherited Adam's rebellious sin nature, now in Mashiach, inherit a new nature. And we are to let the new nature, the reborn nature, rule and dominate that old rebellious nature with the help of the Holy Spirit. We are now born from above when we confess Him as our Lord and believe in our hearts that He was raised from the dead. Proverbs 16:25 says, There is a way that seems right to man, but its end leads to death. He's talking about rebellion there. Remember, we do not have to teach our children to disobey. They just do it naturally. It's that rebellious sin nature that we inherited from Adam. But Yeshua took our rebellious nature and gave us a new nature. One that wants to follow God. One that wants to walk in His way. Now Isaiah 53:6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. That's rebellion. And then it goes on to say, And Hashem hath laid upon him, the suffering servant, the iniquity, the avon of us all. Look at Isaiah 53:11, and I'll be reading from the Orthodox Jewish Bible translation. Hashem shall see the travail of Mashiach's nephesh, his soul, and shall be satisfied. By knowledge of Mashiach shall Zadik Avdi, my righteous servant Mashiach, justify many, for Mashiach shall bear their avon, their iniquities. The Hebrew word avon in these two passages means more than just iniquities. It includes the guilt that separates us from God, the blame, and the punishment for the iniquity. It is Strong's number 5771. This means that rebellion, which is our core iniquity, and our guilt by which Yeshua was judged guilty, and the punishment of our rebellion, and all the consequences that came with it, was laid on the suffering servant in Isaiah, who we know is Yeshua. Let me say it another way. In Isaiah 53:6 and 11, the Hebrew word avon, translated into the one English word iniquity, means all our rebellion plus the punishment for our rebellion, plus the guilt that separates us from Adonai because of our rebellion, plus all the evil consequences of that rebellion, was laid on Yeshua instead of us. That one word, avon, carries this whole meaning. Avon is a little word, but it's packed with great meaning for us. It means Yeshua bore it all on the execution stake, the tree, for us. Years ago, a Bible teacher had a life-changing word from the Ruach HaKodesh. He was told by the Holy Spirit, "Consider the work of Calvary, a perfect work, perfect in every respect, perfect in every aspect." Now, this teacher had a classical education and was qualified to teach Greek on a university level. And he said that this had great meaning to him because the final thing Yeshua said before he died was, "It is finished." That is actually a single Greek word, tetelestai, which is Strong's number 5055. Tetelestai, written there, is in the perfect tense, and it means to do something perfectly. Yeshua's work, "It is finished," that could be translated, "It is perfectly perfect. It is completely complete. There is nothing left to be done." Messiah had no sin nature. He was righteous. On the tree, on the cross, the execution stake, he was made sin with our sin nature, and we were made righteous with his righteousness. Messiah traded all his goodness for all our evil, and then God judged our evil that was laid on him. Now all his goodness is available to us. That was a great deal for us, but that was not such a great deal for him. Yet his love is so great for us that he bore it all. Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." I would like to give a scriptural reference, a scriptural definition of the word cross, because there has been some misunderstanding about that word. It is Strong's number 4716, staros. It is the cross piece of a Roman cross, the cross beam placed on top of the vertical member to form a capital T. This transverse beam was the one carried by the criminal. That is what Yeshua carried to the place of execution on his back. The cross represents unspeakable pain, humiliation, and suffering, but is ironically also the symbol of infinite love. Without Yeshua going to the cross and shedding his blood, we have nothing. The cross is the focal point of everything we have from God, and it is the central point of our faith. Everything stems from that. Yeshua's sacrifice is the only source of grace and power for our lives. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. In past years, we have known friends, brethren, who have fallen away from the faith because they were told that God doesn't accept human sacrifice. That is exactly correct. God does not. But Yeshua's sacrifice was a God sacrifice. It was God sacrificing himself for us. If there were soldiers in a foxhole and the enemy throws in a grenade and one of the soldiers throws himself on top of the grenade, we say he laid down his life for the others. He sacrificed himself to save others. Yeshua was the high priest presenting himself as a sacrifice for us. He was both the priest and the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself, laid down his life that we might have life. Imitate God, it says in Ephesians 5:2, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Consider the work of Calvary. Meditate on it. Contemplate it. See and understand that it what all it accomplished. We have to give Yeshua's sacrifice its rightful place in the center of our lives. The entire gospel, the good news, centers on the work that Yeshua did on Calvary, shedding his blood on the cross. It begins with the realization that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of life that makes atonement." This was a picture of Yeshua's blood being poured out for us. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Yeshua is the last Adam, Adam. The entire Adamic sin nature was put upon him as he hung on the cross. The curse we inherited from Adam was paid in full by his precious blood. As a man, Yeshua was a near kinsman to whom the right of redemption belonged. And as God, he was able to accomplish it. The persons redeemed are us. The blessings obtained is redemption. He purchased us with the price of his own precious blood, and so he delivers us from the curse of the law. It is a sentence of condemnation and death and the execution of it, so that we shall never be hurt by it. Yeshua has delivered us from the wrath to come and redeemed us from the second death. Yeshua was made a curse for us by the will, counsel, and determination of God, and with his own will and free consent. For he freely laid down his life and gave himself and made his soul an offering for sin. Consider Yeshua's blood. The blood of Yeshua has the life of God in it, the life of the Creator, who is infinitely greater than anything he has created, yet dying for us whom he created. Did we get that? I'm going to say it again. It is very important to grasp. Yeshua's blood contains God's own life. The life of the Creator, a life that existed before anything was created. There is more life and power in one drop of his shed blood than in the whole kingdom of Hasatan. I'll close by repeating the words of the Holy Spirit spoken to that Bible teacher years ago. Consider the work of Calvary, a perfect work, perfect in every respect, perfect in every aspect. Brethren, the cross of Yeshua's sacrifice is the focal point of everything we have from God. It is the central point of our faith. Until next week, Shavuot Tov. Be blessed and not stressed. Shalom.